Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Cad Knapsack, and this is Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars. It doesn't get any better than that. And we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/4center to try out a free book like Shadowfall by Alexander Freed on us. Support the show in the process. We have a very, very special guest. You might know him from his recent success in the movie trivia schmodown Star Wars tournament. He kicked my butt, and I'm honored he did. Please welcome back to the show, Andres Ace Cabrera. What's up, my friend?
Hey, what is up, man? I'm excited to be here. Great topic.
Yes, you selected this topic. We are ranking the best blasters in Star Wars, and this is one of those things where I'll always text you or you'll text me. Hey, I'm down to talk some Star Wars. And I'll be like, absolutely. Want to do some ranked? And I'll be like, what do you want to rank? And then you usually have a great topic. I think every time you've been on recently, it's been your topic. And you sent this one back to me. How about blasters? And I was like, oh, no, we absolutely had to have done blasters. And then I looked. We had not done blasters. So, sir, good choice just on the topic alone.
Yes. Yeah. For me, it was thinking about what I was memorizing for the movie Trivia Showdown. And I got to my blaster section and I was like, this is a good topic. So might as well do it. I never got a single blaster question. So there you go.
Trust me. I know that pain well, studying for Star Wars trivia and never getting those questions. But you did it. You swept the tournament. You're going on to face the champion, Alex Damon. This isn't Schmodown talk, but I'm just so happy for you. A quick question about that. As you're a Star Wars fan. You ever since I've known you, you and I have had some just wonderful discussions. I'm still bummed you and I didn't get to really, along with MF5, carry Jedi Council a little bit farther with what we had planned. But, what's the difference between, I'm a Star Wars fan versus I must memorize every blaster?
Yeah, it's kind of intense, man, because it's always about what type of things you know about and where does it land, right? Because every single thing inside a Star Wars frame is now eligible for a question. So my mentality was memorizing everything I could. And any possible question that I can come up with might be something they can come up with. And I usually think about Star Wars more on the mythology aspect, the philosophy aspect, the terms as far as how it appeals to an audience, and not necessarily what's the name of every single ship. But it was an experience, man, for sure. And it's something that I knew I could do, and I had to prove it to myself before anyone else. And I did, and thankfully I did.
I'm glad you did. It was an honor to be defeated and kicked to the curb by you, sir. And I know what you mean. Look, I grew up, I think when you grow up as a Star Wars fan, you definitely connect to the big themes, but also it is kind of the ships and the pew-pew-pew and the surface level stuff. As you get older, you attach to it, or maybe you don't. And so there would have been a time where this probably would have been the discussion I would have had more often than not. Let's talk blasters. But now, yeah, like you, it's the whys of Star Wars, the philosophies, and that's part of it too. But in making my list, after you suggested the topic, I found myself getting really excited going, oh yeah, that one. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much I connected to that one and how much I love it. So this is what's going to be fun about today's discussion.
Oh yeah, I'm excited, man. Obviously, I always pick the most interesting. I mean, I picked lightsaber battles last time, and now I'm picking blasters. So goes to show where my head is at.
Hey, fighting. You like fighting. Yep. No, I'm kidding. Before we begin, we are going to do what we do occasionally here on Force Center Star Wars Ranked. We are going to induct a entry into the Star Wars Ranked Hall of Fame. We do this from time to time when there is a choice that number one is just really obvious because it is the choice. It is a choice that deserves to be on the list, but it's so popular, so iconic that we almost feel we don't even need to talk about it because we can both acknowledge that it's supposed to be there. So today we are going to be putting into the Star Wars Ranked Hall of Fame the best blaster perhaps of all time, at least the most iconic, Han Solo's DL-44 blaster. It deserves its place in the Hall of Fame. Andres, what did you think about the blaster growing up, Han's trusty blaster? Yeah.
This is the blaster, right? Anytime you think, in my opinion, Star Wars blaster, this is the one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. If anyone, whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or whether you're a Star Wars fan who just got into it, this is, to me, the most iconic blaster. Part of it has to do, I mean, most of it has to do with Han Solo, to be fair, and Harrison Ford's performance as Han Solo, making it so iconic. And the way, I believe it's A New Hope when he first pulls this out and fires it at Docu Bay 94. And the way he shoots it has got such a unique way where he's almost putting his other hand like right behind him as if he's like waiting for a baton pass. His hand is like stretched outwards. And it's such a cool pose that it became iconic within itself. And then the blaster reached iconic status after that as well. This is the blaster, man. I felt like it would just be like 1 through 5 would just be the DL-44. So.
I like what you said. It's the blaster that we kind of all grew up with and associate with Star Wars, that we're going to find out there's some others. And not to not to forget, and I almost was going to be a little sneaky, because sometimes on Star Wars Ranked, we'll be a little sneaky. Like, we'll choose the, this is my favorite Beatles song. It's the rare track you never heard until the 70s. Luke Skywalker's got his own DL-44 at Empire Strikes Back. He's carrying it, too, which is why, to your point, especially me growing up as a kid in the early 80s, I just thought that's what a lot of blasters were in Star Wars. They just look like that.
Yeah. And it's so funny, obviously, because I mean, obviously a lot of people might not have liked it. I personally did. And so a Star Wars Story, when you see that scene where Beckett is giving this long speech as he's tearing apart this blaster. And then when he tosses it to Han, you realize that's the blaster, the DL-44, a classic blaster. So I love that scene as well.
You read my mind. It was going to go right to that point there, because it was something that was revealed before the movie came out, if I recall, right? Yeah. Trailer or maybe a vignette. And so that told me two things. One, hey, we're going to give you a little fan service. You might not like it. We're going to do it. But also, it's not a huge big plot point. It's not like he uncovered the blaster in a, cave, and it was part. It's just part of. It just kind of was this occurrence. It was almost, at one point it was kind of nothing to Beckett, but also, hey, I'm giving you a blaster. I'm giving you something that got me through the galaxy. That's big in its own right way, which is why the gun would have some sort of meaning to Han. And then to what happens at the end. So I really do like the scene. It's not necessarily one of my favorites in Solo, but in a movie I love, I just kind of looked at that and went like, oh, yeah, I love that. That's the blaster. So I'm with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I can't believe I forgot to mention it's the Greedo scene that kind of made it the most iconic. Yeah. Considering, and I know this is me going extra nerd, but I guess this is what we do.
Yeah.
Considering how quickly it fried Greedo, right? It was like a one-shot... like a giant hole in his stomach. And we, as an audience, were like, wow, how powerful is that blaster?
Mm-hmm.
That one shot and Greedo looks like he exploded.
Yeah.
That made the DL-44 and Han Solo himself iconic, is when he first pulled it out and shot Greedo.
Absolutely. Which is why the DL-44 is hereby inducted into the Star Wars Ranked Hall of Fame, which means we can begin ranking our list, working our way 5-1. And Ace, we are going to begin with your number 5.
Yes, my number 5. I'm excited about my number 5. First came out in The Force Awakens. It is the NN-14 blaster pistol.
Yeah.
This is, for anyone who doesn't know, this is Rey's blaster that Han Solo gives to Rey. And there's a lot of reasons why I like this blaster. Obviously, the first reason is because of the scene itself, when we see Han deliver the blaster to Rey, and Rey, I believe, gets the response of, I can handle myself. And he's like, yeah, this is why I'm giving it to you.
Yes.
It's one of the best lines in the whole movie. And it really goes to show you what Han thought of Rey as a person, as a character. I mean, obviously, this is someone who was piloting the Falcon by herself. This is someone who was doing it with a lot of stuff that Unkar Plot installed in the Falcon that didn't necessarily work with the Falcon. So he was already impressed with her with that. And then when it came to handling herself, this is the blaster that it just made Rey the character we all know and love. Rey, the go-getter, the striver, the warrior. I love this blaster. And obviously we see it in action when she gets her first kill with FN-417. Sorry, I swear to you, I'm not bragging or showing off with my trivia knowledge. That's the only way I know how to say it.
Yeah.
But when she takes out FN-417, her first first order trooper, and her safety is on, which is like another little funny moment in the movie. It shows you that Rey is now reaching a different level inside this galaxy, right? I mean, her first kill is kind of a big deal, considering she's not a scavenger anymore. She's a warrior, or she's a soldier.
Yeah.
And then later on, when she's firing it at Kylo, and he's just blocking every blast, and then obviously he freezes her with the Force, another iconic moment. But even after that, I think the moment that really stands out the most with this blaster is The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
When she fires it at Force Skype Kylo, and he thinks it actually shot him, which is a great acting moment from Adam Driver, obviously.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh my God, I just got shot. And it turns out he did it. But that moment right there shows you obviously the power of the blaster to go through stone so easily.
Yeah.
But it's also a nice moment that shows you this is something that she will always remember as a gift from Han Solo and as a totem from the great Han Solo. So yeah, I love this blaster.
I'm glad it's on your list here because this is something that, you know, it's Star Wars tradition. A character gets their blaster, Han has his blaster, and this sticks for the movies. That's why I love so much that it's in Rise of Skywalker. Like you just said, it is something she's kind of received from the big legend. She's got lessons and the lightsaber, from Luke. She's got the blaster and the lessons and the memories of Han, the medal, everything that's kind of and the mentorship from Leia. It's all there, and it's and the Han stuff for her is in this blaster. And it's just in terms of a Star Wars blaster. Going back to first see it on in Force Awakens, like, man, I love it. It is so just much like the designs of the blasters in A New Hope were because they got cheap leftover World War II weapons and they could modify them. This just looks like a six shooter jammed into like a pager with a motorcycle exhaust on the end of it. And yep, it's a Star Wars blaster. And to me, that just feels like Star Wars. That thing that I always talk about, you don't know till you see it. And when this first emerged, I was like, yeah, this is a little tiny janky blaster that Han's just probably got around. But he wouldn't just give it to anyone. And it is a great scene. It is a great scene for her, you know, what you said about, you know, I'm good. No, I know you're good. This is why I'm giving it to you to acknowledge that and honor that. So I wouldn't just hand this to anyone. So I love it. Great choice. The NN-14 blaster pistol. Good one. All right. We are up to, beginning my list, but my number five. Going to my childhood here, and I got to tell you, Andres, it was hard for me not to go to 1983 for every one of my choices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did force myself to branch out. By force, I mean just you turn the page in the book and you go, oh, that's right. I do like a lot of different blasters in Star Wars. But I'm going to Return of the Jedi, where I first fell in love with the EC-17 holdout blaster. This is the Biker Scout blaster. Anyone who's listened to Force Center for a long length of time will tell you, I love me my speeder bike scouts. I love speeder bikes. I love biker scouts. It's just something I've always just been, I've always loved about those. And this blaster is part of that. And there's bigger, stronger blasters in Star Wars. Even the biker scouts, the scout troopers, thanks in large part to the video games, Battlefront 2, even the original Battlefront games, have kind of expanded to be their snipers. They're the sniper class in a lot of those games. So they got big, powerful sniper rifles. I still love this. And there's something about the speeder bike scene, seeing it and for the first time and being terrified and not, you know, I'm seven. I don't know what's going on. And when the biker scout, after he had, that was a little bit later, right? When he pulls it out it looks like he might shoot Leia off the speeder bike. And it gets to that shot where it's so close. I'm like, oh God, no. I'm, seven, I'm freaking out. And then when it gets pointed at Leia's head during the wicket sequence a little bit later, that just stuck in my memory. I have that Topps trading card. I have it in my collection and I have it in my memory. Just the look of the blaster, sleek and like the Empire. It looks great, but it brings pain.
Yeah. So this is, you said it was the EC-17, right?
Yeah.
So this is the little one, right?
Yes.
So this, it's so funny, right? Because there's a lot of things about this blaster. First thing I'll say, it reminds me, maybe because I'm a Bond guy, of the PPK from Bond.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, I do.
But it's the little Bond gun that he usually keeps to himself. I think it's been in a few Bond movies. But I will never forget, Ken, same with you, watching that scene and seeing this biker scout with one hand just pulls out this little gun and you're like, bro, where'd you get that from?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite scenes. And obviously it's one of my favorite blasters because of the size.
Yeah.
It looks so portable and small and almost perfect for like a concealed use of a biker scout, right? You can't take out this giant rifle if you're on top of a speeding speeder bike.
Yes.
So I love this choice. This is absolutely great.
And I love when it returns in The Mandalorian, used in kind of that episode 8 comedy scene. Just kind of fun. Yeah, it's just, as a kid, you as we talked about up top, you know, I'm not worried about the philosophy of the EC-17 as a kid. I'm just looking at this cool gun held by the bad guys. And it just stuck with me. And I'm sure there's probably some good toys out there of it that aren't just in the figure form. I'm looking at my Black Series Biker Scout right now on my shelf. But I don't remember if there's actually like a handheld, probably painted orange now, but back in the day probably was realistic. I don't recall ever seeing a EC-17 out there in the memorabilia world. I'll have to look that up.
Gotcha.
I might have to still own one if there is one there. That is my number five. Our list is off and running, and we, sir, up to your number four.
Yes, so my number four is one that has always been one of my favorites ever since I first saw this movie, and it's from The Phantom Menace. And it's the ELG-3A blaster pistol, also known as the Naboo Royal Blaster. This is the one where they storm the throne room. Panaka, Padme, Sabe, and the team takes on the throne room, trying to get to Viceroy Gunray. And ever since I first saw this blaster, I was like, that is the coolest little blaster I've ever seen. It's so sleek and it's so cool looking. And it seemed like the perfect weapon that a Naboo security fighter would have. But I will never forget Padme's line of Captain, we don't have time for this. And she's shooting the droids. But I love that line because every time I rewatch the movies, I always add my own commentary to it.
Yeah.
And my commentary is always like Panaka's point of view of like, hey, don't you see me trying? And obviously that leads to him blowing up the window and going to the Ascension guns, which is another one of my favorite lines of the movie where he just yells out Ascension guns.
Yes.
As if it's a superpower. But this blaster, I love that she has these blasters just stored up in the throne chair of the throne room.
Yeah.
Of her actual like throne.
Have you read Queen's Peril yet?
Oh my God, I haven't. And it's funny because this is actually on my list of books to read. And Queen's Peril is at the top of my list, followed by the new Hunger Games book.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that plays into it where she keeps those blasters there, right?
Let me tell you something. I'm glad it's on the top of your list because I was going to tell you to move it there right away. Literally, when you're done finishing recording this podcast, I want you to open up that book. Yeah, this factors in how they got into the throne. Is part of a little plot point in the story. It shows something about her and the handmaidens and Panaka, and it's just I love it. And those are the ones with the shortened barrel versions of it.
Yes.
So you, sir, absolutely need to read Queen's Peril.
I will do. Considering Padme is one of my favorites, and this whole Phantom Menace might be one of my favorite movies as well.
Ooh, so we'll talk about that offline. This blaster pistol, I love it. I think it's a great choice because it's the Nubian design. Everything from Naboo is just got that aesthetic that I think you're a Phantom Menace guy. You're probably drawn to the Naboo ships, everything, even in Attack of the Clones. So I love the opening of Attack of the Clones just for Padme's ship landed. I love the N1 Starfighters. It makes sense that it would go down to these sleek little blasters. It's beautiful. It's elegant.
Yes, I love the Naboo. I mean, obviously, we talked about one of my favorite planets, and Naboo has always been one of my favorites. Yeah. Either one or two between that or Coruscant, but Naboo's always been up there because I definitely do love the architecture, the design of it. It's all amazing.
Yeah, and I love that they carried this into the Clone Wars animated series. Padme pulled it out to use a lot in a lot of episodes there, so check that out if you want to trace the ELG-3A blaster pistol. Which one do you prefer, Ace? The long barrel or the short snub nose barrel version?
I like the long barrel, but that's also kind of teasing some of my top choices. Okay. I like that look, but the short barrel's got a cool design as well. But I definitely prefer the long barrel.
Love it. That's a great number four. And speaking of sleek, kind of long barreled blaster pistols, I am going to a present day choice. I am not just sticking to my seventh year on this planet. I'm going to 2019 Rise of Skywalker and the E-851 blaster pistol. This is the blaster pistol of Zori Bliss. Everyone knows I love the character of Zori Bliss. Looking forward to more content with the young Poe Dameron novel. And Zori is part of some of my favorite moments in Rise of Skywalker, some powerful moments, those deep philosophical moments that you and me and Joseph Scrimshaw love discussing. But I just love the look, her Rocketeer vibe, her spaceman vibe, and this blaster, which looks like it would be, it's almost like a pirate ship musket.
I was going to say a pirate musket. That's exactly what it looks
like. You know, it looks like this could be in a Disney Pirates of the Caribbean gift shop. It looks almost natural, organic, long flowing. It just looks great on scene in the scenes when she sticks it in a Poe's temple and ready to pull the trigger. I just looked at this and I was like, no, this isn't, you know, I never want to force a choice on Star Wars Ranked. And so I was like, all right, let me try to pick something a little more modern. And this popped into my head and just, I was like, nope. And I'm staring at a little Zori Bliss Funko Pop figure right now, one of the mini pops. And the gun's featured in there, and it's just part of her design as a character, and it flows, and it just fits so well into the design and her as a character and everything like that. So I don't want to go too far down the deep philosophical path, but it's just a very cool Star Wars blaster, and cool, as always, carries weight for me in Star Wars.
Yeah, this is a great choice, man. Obviously, I love the black design with the gold lining around it. This definitely looks like something out of a pirates movie, which is perfect for Zori, right?
Yes.
And when she says, I want to see your brains in the snow, you believe that it's possible with this blaster.
Yes.
For sure. Cause you're like, damn, that thing looks like it would put his brains in the snow. I love this scene and I love this blaster. It's a great choice, man.
There it is. I'm even looking at a picture of it right now. Just kind of drifting away into this design here. It looks so good. Yeah, the black and the bronzium barrel with recoil stabilizing porting notch. Oh, Pablo Hidalgo has fun describing everything in Star Wars. So that is my choice there at number four, which means we're going to move up to your number three.
Yeah, my number three, I love this blaster, man. And obviously it's classic for me because it's Revenge of the Sith. And it means a lot to me because it's mainly used by my favorite all-time Star Wars character. Mm. And that is the DT-57 Annihilator Blaster, which is the blaster that Obi-Wan refers to as so uncivilized. This is the General Grievous blaster that Obi-Wan uses to kill General Grievous.
Look at that.
Yes, I love this blaster. It looks like a giant, like, almost like a modified either E5 or E11.
Yeah.
Just like a bigger version of that. But it's got a cool name, obviously. But the fact that this is the one that Obi-Wan force pulls to himself and shoots General Grievous in the heart with is one of my favorite scenes in all of Star Wars, obviously. Mm. And it's by one of my favorite characters. That's why it means so much to me. Mm. And I love that Obi-Wan realizes the power of it and yet is put off by it.
Yeah.
Right after he murders Grievous by shooting him with his own blaster, which I think is very poetic.
The DT-57 packed a heavy punch without loss of range, says the description of it. So uncivilized. I'm so glad it's on your list because it's on your list, not necessarily for the person who owned it or came to own it. Grievous would often steal his things from Jedi he vanquished. But that what it means to Obi-Wan and Obi-Wan as a character, which also ties into the big stuff in New Hope, some of the stuff he's saying to Luke, and it all ties into this. And not only is it just a fun little moment, but what you just touched upon is pretty interesting. It not only saves his life and it packs a punch and can be used to maybe turn the tide of the war, but Obi-Wan still in the end rejects it for what it is and for what it made him do in a way. And I'm fascinated with that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that this is the weapon he has available to him. And I believe at this point in the movie, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is where he's already dropped his lightsaber. So this is the only weapon he has and he still rejects it. I'm like, bro, at least keep it for 15 more minutes. You know, it's until Cody gives you your lightsaber back, or until you find it.
Yeah.
But he still tosses it to the side, which I think is even better.
Says a lot about him. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Get some XP points and level up and then maybe get your weapons back. I love it, man. I love it. I guess to collect this one in figure form, you might have to buy some Grievouses, right? Because I don't think there's a So Uncivilized Obi-Wan pack. There needs to be if there isn't.
Yeah, I would love this to be referred to as Obi-Wan's blaster. I think that would be even funnier. But no, unfortunately, it's still considered Grievous's blaster, and it's called the Annihilator, which is even better.
It's the best.
That's a great name. I love it.
Oh, we're not done talking nicknames for blasters on this show, but I love that because it's similar to our other passion, Game of Thrones, where, you know, you're going to name a sword. It's named Needle. Yes. Of course you'd name your bleeping sword Needle. The Annihilator. Love that. Oh, man. It's good. And yeah, it is similar to the E5 used by the B1 battle droids, but I like that. That makes sense. It'd be something similar. Blastech Industries would produce it and say, here's a different version over there. And Grievous would be like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Good exactly. choice.
Add it to his collection.
Add it to his collection for your number three choice, which means we're up to my number three. And I went modern again. I went very modern, and I'll tell you why. I'm going with my number three, the blaster pistol, which I do believe does not have an official model distinction yet. We'll have to wait for a book that's coming out soon to explain it, but I'm going with the blaster pistol used by the Mandalorian, Din Djarin. Now, I get it. The pulsarized rifle, that's pretty cool. Even though it disappears halfway through the show, I still think now, I believe the conspiracy that when George Lucas told Favreau on set, I didn't have anything to do with the Star Wars Holiday Special, that it was suddenly vanished. I'm joking, of course, but I can support that theory. I love the blaster pistol. He is a mysterious lone gunfighter, right? We keep hearing that all the time. He is a lone wolf and cub, all these kind of references. So a weapon, he's not necessarily going to carry a sword around at Star Wars, so they're going to give him this blaster. And I'll admit, a little bit before the series came out, a friend of mine who used to be in pro wrestling and used to work with me in pro wrestling, I ran into him at an independent wrestling show. He works in practical effects in Hollywood now. We were just catching up. He goes, oh, you'd like Star Wars. And I don't want to say his name. I probably said too much. I don't want to get in trouble. But I didn't share it with the world. I didn't run to a website and do a scoop. But he said, here's the blaster. I worked on this blaster. I was part of the team that built it. And he showed me actual pictures from the prop desk of this blaster. And back then at that moment, Ace, if you remember, like I was like, I'm really excited for The Mandalorian. I'm just not sure if it's for me. And I had some silly questions about how they were making it. And then I saw that and I was like, well, I'll be damned. That looks like a Star Wars gun. And I am excited to see that in action. And all through the series, it's just become synonymous with him and his gunfighter hand. And I really love the design. It is both new and instantly classic. And that's why I have it on my list.
Yeah, this is the perfect Western looking blaster inside a Star Wars property, right?
Yeah.
It looks so Western and it's perfect because that's kind of the vibe that obviously Favreau and Filoni wanted to go with the Mandalorian. You know what's funny? I'm going to go super nerd on you, but you know what it reminds me of? I'm a massive fan of a show called Supernatural. Mm. And there's a gun on the show that's supposed to be the most powerful gun in the world that can kill anything. And it's called the Colt. And it looks almost exactly like this blaster. And obviously, I don't know if you have time to look up the Colt from Supernatural.
I'm going
to
do that now.
But it has the brown edges around the handle. Has that classic gunslinger look.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect for a Western type show, for a Western type look inside a Star Wars universe, right? I love this choice.
Yeah, the Colt, I'm looking at it now, the Colt from Supernatural. It comes up right away on a Google search. It looks like it belongs in Red Dead Redemption 2, as does the Mandalorian blaster. So yeah, there's a Western vibe and a Western spirit. Oh, that's a great choice. Interesting. We'll do Guns of Supernatural and other shows a little bit later. But what also for this weapon and why it's on my list is, you know, we had seen the pictures before the show came out, and we knew, especially from Favreau's Instagram post, that the rifle that Boba Fett had in the holiday special is going to be in there. We know there's other guns held by other Mandalorians or non-Mandalorians of all kind that are equally as interesting, and you know, I think we were expecting a cool weapon. And this one just is simple. It is what it is. And it didn't need to be more than that. And that's, and I think that says a lot about the Mandalorian. He just needs a trusty blaster by his side. And the fact that right now I have been searching even before we went to air, trying to find the actual model number. I can't find it if it exists. But again, I know we're going to get the visual dictionary from Pablo Hidalgo coming out this October. I'm sure we'll get some information, get it named there. But the fact that even right now that I can't easily find the model number fits in with the Mandalorian and this character of like, he's probably not even concerned about it. Probably doesn't even feel his gun has earned a name yet. He needs an honorable kill with it or something like that. And I just love it. And again, instant classic, despite being completely new.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love, like you said, that it's so mysterious, just like the character is. So it flows perfectly inside that show. And I think it's perfect for it.
Doom, boom, doom.
That music video, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. So that is my number three, which means we are coming up to our number twos. We'll take a break after that and come back with our number ones, maybe some runner ups. But right now, we're going to go to your number two, my friend.
Ooh, my number two was me going back and forth, making it my number one, because this is one that I've loved ever since I first saw it for a lot of reasons. And I love that it came back in another movie as well. Mm. And this is the SE-14R light repeating blaster. This is Lando's blaster in Solo: A Star Wars Story, because we all know Lando has a lot of blasters. But this is the chrome big looking blaster that he uses while on Kessel, shooting off anyone there trying to stop him. And this is the one he uses to fight everyone off. But it's also the one, and I don't know if, I'm sure you know this, but this is the one that Kylo or Ben Solo uses when he comes to Exegol, when he's blasting away the guards that are protecting the Emperor. And when I found that out, it just elevated the blaster status to me, because I remember watching the movie the first time and thinking, wait, what is that blaster and where did he get it from? Yeah. And realizing that it's Lando's blaster, it just elevates it to me. And obviously, it's chrome. It looks cool. It's big. Yeah. It looks powerful. But at the same time, it looks like it's still a blaster pistol. So you can, you know, handle it with one arm.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite designs out of all the Star Wars blasters. And it's obviously got a lot of significance between Solo and The Rise of Skywalker, which is one of the coolest connections to me. Two of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Well, especially if you throw in, you know, Lando and Rise of Skywalker's kind of got that Solo young Lando vibe with the yellow there. Now, and I'd say this is a different kind of design for Star Wars. It's definitely a Star Wars gun, but it's kind of like almost, it says light repeating blaster, and you know, but in its one hand, it's a blaster pistol in my mind, but this is almost a rifle, and he does have a X8 night sniper rifle, but it's got the scope. It's different. It almost looks like an Uzi. If you grew up in the '80s, when every villain had an Uzi, you know, the Secret Service guys around Reagan, when he was shot, they all pull out Uzis. I grew up with that being the gun, and this kind of has that vibe. But it's all, like you said, it's all kind of that chrome silver look And then again, the fact that it shows up in Rise of Skywalker, it's just one of those simple things, but it immediately, if you see it, you know it, and it connects, and that family kind of family connection that Ben had turned from, but was now re-embracing, that old Uncle Lando probably at some point was like, here, take this. It had served me well, you know, like, that's the little thing that I'm sorry. I love that movie. I know. Ace loves Rise of Skywalker too. Yes. And that, little things like this that aren't just simple connections. We always talk about the why, and that's the why of it. It isn't just, I had a blaster sitting around my TIE fighter. It's Lando's, and Uncle Lando gave it to me, and now I'm embracing that again. And that stuff works for me, and this gun is great.
And obviously, the way Lando uses it versus the way Kylo uses it, by shooting the guard in front of him and then not looking while shooting the guard behind him, which is obviously a throwback to Han Solo.
Yep.
And it shows you the mannerisms that Ben took from his father, which I think is even better, because there's a few moments in there where people noticed that Adam Driver was having a Han Solo vibe to him.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with this blaster and the way he used it. So I think this shows you It shows you that this is Ben Solo coming to rescue Rey or trying to rescue Rey in that scene. And it's not Kylo Ren. So I love that moment.
Yeah. Well said. Let me ask you this. If you had to choose, who would you rather see using it? Who is your choice? Is it Ben in the end of Rise of Skywalker, or is it Lando kicking ass, saving the day as best he can on Kessel? Who do you want the blaster in?
That's a tough one, right? Because I still think Lando is underrated as a, you know, 100%. As everything, to be honest. But
yeah.
I'm going to go with Lando, man. It stood out to me when he was using it on Kessel the first time. So I have to go with him, considering it was, like you said, this giant blaster pistol all chromed out. I was like, what is that? That is so cool. I'll go with Lando.
Totally fits in that Lando Falcon, you know, in that cool, sleek apartment he's turned the Falcon into. Good choice. Yeah. And obviously Ben, it's valuable, but we more think of Kylo and his lightsaber, but, guys, that's a great choice, man. That's a multi-generational story choice there in terms of Star Wars timelines there. We are going to go to my number two, and this is talking multi-generational. Now we're getting to the point where I was just like, nope, now I'm going to connect with my youth, my crazy youthful days as a young Star Wars fan and running around my yard pretending to be in the Battle of Endor. And this is a weapon I've always been fascinated with. And then lo and behold, man, it gets its moment in the sun in Force Awakens. I'm talking about Chewie's Wookiee Bowcaster.
Hey.
Look, man, it doesn't get any simpler than this. Crazy, weird design. And I have the Nerf version right now, the one with the little Nerf pellets that came out during the Force Awakens one. It's all bright and orange. It's sitting in my garage next to my life-size Wicket. It's just a weird Star Wars corner. And you know, Return of the Jedi, especially, you know, it factors, you know, he has it for all the movies, but Return of the Jedi, again, that's the first one I saw in the theaters that I remember. And to watch him take out that speeder bike with the bowcaster, you're like, what is that? You feel like Han in Force Awakens. And so then to come back all these years later, now I always kind of laugh a little bit that Han at this point in his life is for the first time ever really paying attention to the blaster. I think that's fun. I don't think it's some weird plot hole in their relationship as friends. I just think it's fun. And Harrison plays it so well. And when it's sending stormtroopers somersaulting through the air, like, I'm a sucker for that. All setting up what happens when he shoots Kylo and the blaster bolt in Kylo's hip and everything like that. And it has some relevance, but I just, as a weapon, as a Star Wars weapon, it probably deserves its place in the Hall of Fame as well, but I wanted to talk about it here on the list. It's Chewie, man. Who doesn't love Chewie, and who doesn't love that bowcaster?
Yes, this bowcaster is obviously a classic, and it's considered, I consider it to be one of the most powerful blasters. Obviously, especially because of The Force Awakens, considering all the damage it did to the stormtroopers. But it shows you that Chewie is one of the most well-rounded warriors we've ever seen in Star Wars, considering how good of a shot he is. I don't think he ever misses, man.
No.
Literally, like you said, when he first takes out the biker scout, he gets him with like one or two shots. And it's at a distance.
Yeah.
It's pretty far away. Every time I rewatched Return of the Jedi, I noticed that. I was like, man, that's a good shot. And obviously the power of it we see in The Force Awakens. I always go back to that movie because, like you said, they build it up so much throughout the movie, leading all the way up to the moment where he shoots Kylo with it.
Yeah.
Which, if you really think about it, is significant in more ways than one, considering that he's shooting someone that he possibly knew as a child growing up, right? This is Uncle Chewie.
It's Uncle Chewie.
And he's shooting his nephew who's gone dark.
Yeah.
And he's rightfully enraged. Obviously, seeing Han die in front of him is tragic. And he nails him just right in that stomach. Which also kind of teases, and obviously we can get into the whole, you know, this was an issue when The Force Awakens came out as far as like, why was Kylo so easily beat?
Right.
But I always said, hey, he just got We just saw the rule of three with Chewie's bowcaster, right? Mm-hmm. Where he shot like three stormtroopers before he shot Kylo, showing the power of it. Right. And considering those stormtroopers literally went flying like 15 feet in the air, and Kylo just took a knee, like he got shot in the stomach and he just went to his knees and came right back up and then super sped to the forest.
Yeah.
Which I also think is a funny moment in The Force Awakens where he gets there before they do.
I just think he knew a brick path around a creek. He just knew a pond. Like you cross the pond, you're good. You're there.
Yeah. But either way, it shows you that, oh, I get it. They were building up the power of this blaster to show you that when Kylo got shot from it, he's taking it full on. Like this guy is still going out 100% and he's still a badass, even though he just got shot with the most powerful blaster we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very significant blaster for many reasons, but obviously Chewie's the GOAT. He's amazing. And he deserves more credit. So
absolutely. And I think in Rise of Skywalker and Solo, some of the later stuff, he gets some big moments in the sun, but not that with Peter Mayhew and Chewie in the original movies, and even the prequels, right? He gets some moments too, but I agree with you, Chewie, underrated as well. He's so loyal and he's always there. He can sometimes be overlooked. That is my number two, Chewie's Wookiee bowcaster, which means we're up to your number. No, wait. Yeah, it was your number two. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Lando's number two. I messed myself up. So you know what that means? I'm going to need a reset, and we're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the break, Andres and I will have a couple runner-ups and our number one choices for the best blaster in Star Wars. Stick around here on Force Center.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. I'm Ken Napsok, and we are here with Andres Cabrera. You can call him Ace if he lets you. All right. We are talking best blasters in Star Wars. And look, we're choosing five aside. That's tough enough because there's a lot of choices, which, of course, means, as often here on Star Wars Ranked, we are going to have some runner-ups. What do you have on your list for runners-up, my friend?
Yes. Yeah, so obviously I just talked about what is one of the most powerful blasters we've seen, which is Chewie's bowcaster, or you just talked about it. Another powerful blaster is one we saw in Rogue One, and that is Baze Malbus.
Yeah.
With the MWC-35C staccato lightning. Yeah. I just call it the staccato lightning, which took me forever to memorize, by the way. This was back in my movie trivia showdown prep.
Yeah.
Trying to memorize all these blasters, and it took me forever to memorize this one. But I noticed this one when I first saw Rogue One, obviously.
Yeah.
Considering he takes down like 20 stormtroopers in 5 seconds with it, and it's got a cool backpack with it, looks like a super soaker.
I had that super soaker.
I did too. Which is perfect because it's got that super soaker design of like this thing is packing some punch to it, and obviously it does. Baze Malbus is a great character in Rogue One, and I feel like this blaster defines his character as the steady, grounded, powerful tool that is that needs no mystery like a kyber crystal. It's a simple, powerful cannon, essentially.
Oh, wow. That's a great
choice. This has always been one of my favorites as well, ever since I first saw it.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a great choice. To be honest with you, I hadn't even factored that in my list. I think I needed to slide into Rogue One a little bit more when I was making my list. So great choice. Anything else on your runner-up list?
I have the EL-16. This is Finn's blaster. Shout out to Battlefront 2.
Yes.
If you guys play Battlefront 2, this is much more a Battlefront 2 blaster than it is a movie blaster, considering that Finn, I don't think Finn ever uses this, right? In The Force Awakens?
Right. I mean,
he's given this blaster by Han, obviously, and this is when he says, keep it, kid.
He does shoot at the end where he and Rey come into the final showdown.
Oh, that's right.
He does
right.
shoot down. Yeah. So he does use it.
Yes. Mm. But for anyone who plays the video game and for anyone who knows, the EL-16 is a very, very powerful blaster. Yeah. super cool, big, you know, boxy design to it, which I think is great. And it's another example of a big, powerful weapon that Finn gets to handle, which is cool.
And I love quickly on some of the philosophy of that design. Like, I know it comes from Han, but I associate a lot of the Resistance troops with these kind of bigger, bulkier blasters that aren't really flashy looking. We were talking about some great designs here today. Those aren't necessarily my favorite designs, but I love what they represent because it's the Resistance. Grab what you can. We're not worried about fancy outfits. We got to fight. And that kind of ties into the sequel era vibe for me when it comes to the Resistance in that. So I like that Finn ends up with it, and it's unique in its own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Other runner ups.
I have another one, but it teases my number one. So I'm going to wait.
Sounds fair. I got a couple runner ups. I couldn't not mention this one, but, it's so just standard that it didn't make my top five, but the Stormtrooper E-11. I mean,
ooh, yeah.
Come on. You know, we grew up, and then when Han and Luke get a hold of one when they're in disguise, like, that's always even kind of fun to have in figure form. Yes. It's just kind of simple, direct. I like it. It is what it is. I do like Cad Bane's little blaster pistols.
Cad Bane's blaster's great.
I love a lot about Cad Bane. And this one here, this is we've been talking. It's interesting. You and I just said blasters. I definitely associate blasters with handheld pistols. I mean, I get it. All the guns are handheld, but you know what I mean? Like something that can fit in one hand. So this is kind of a rifle, but you can go any different ways with it. And I'm sure there was probably examples of this in Legends. I mean, no disrespect, not super versed in the Legends details, but I love when this popped up in some of the more modern comic lines, the lightsaber rifle, which was this old ancient weapon. I remember seeing that the first time, and for me, the first time, again, there probably was other examples, and I didn't go like, oh, that's a weird sci-fi thing. I went like, well, that makes a lot of sense. Just put a lightsaber in a contraption, you can shoot it. Oh yeah, sign me up for that. And I just like it. It is kind of weird sci-fi. It is very Legends, but I like it. It's canon, like it. And then my final one, this goes back to my youth. Whatever the hell Zuckuss is carrying, which I do know is a GRS-1 snare rifle. I love it. It's like a split level gun. It's like a bus in London, one of the double decker buses. It's like a double decker rifle. It's like a it's a double bass guitar in an 80s rock band. It's like so unique and weird. And, you know, the Mandalorian series has done a lot for taking characters from that era, particularly almost all the characters from that bounty hunter lineup, and showing them and their weapons in action, where we had only previously been able to imagine it as children. Grown up, I want to see a Zuckuss, what is it, Gran, show up in Mandalorian so I can see what the hell his gun does.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I don't know what your number one is, so I want to wait before I say maybe two other honorable mentions, just because I'm not sure.
Because
speaking of Zuckuss, there's some other bounty hunters that have some great blasters as well.
Absolutely. Well, as we do often here, I will go with my number one. So our guest, Andres Cabrera, can close the show with his number one. My number one, it is an all-time classic. Does it deserve its place in the Hall of Fame? I think so, but I definitely wanted to talk about it. It has a great name. You want to talk about rifles, blasters, having names, nicknames like swords in Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and any other high fantasy stuff? Yeah, this one has an amazing name. It is Satine's Lament. This is the Defender Sporting Blaster Pistol held by the one and only Leia Organa of Alderaan, all the way up to the Resistance battle. She stuns Poe with it. I love this blaster. This is the gun she carried in A New Hope. This is, along with the E-11, like the first blaster we really see in Star Wars. Well, the Rebel Alliance is, the D-17s, whatever they're called. But we get to see it in action. We get to see it stun a stormtrooper. Like, whoa, what's going on? She carries it with her. She does get to fire some other blasters in Empire Strikes Back, but comes back in Return of the Jedi with another kind of smaller gun here, another version. She's got those little handheld pistols, but this one always remained my favorite. And then to see it pop back up again in Last Jedi when she pulls it up to stun Han. Man, give me that. And then when you expand the story and add in some modern canon, and now that we know it is called Satine's Lament, named for Duchess Satine of Mandalore, Obi-Wan's one true love. Give me this blaster. I absolutely love it.
Wow. I can't believe this one slipped my mind. You're absolutely right. This is definitely one of the most iconic blasters. I mean, it could be argued as like the second most iconic, second only to Han. That shot of Leia holding it up close to her face, on the Tantive IV, it is the iconic Leia shot. And it's that, a character defining shot, right? Because it shows you who she is as a character, someone who's going to stand up for herself, someone who doesn't require protection, even though she's a princess. She doesn't need her security guards around her to defend herself. She has her own weapon. She has her own vibe to her. As she says in the movie, somebody has to save our skins and it's going to be her. And that's her character within itself. And that shot shows you so much. And obviously that blaster design is so cool. As you say, cool is not something to be overlooked in Star Wars. And this is definitely one of the coolest ones. And it connects to the character so much, right? We see a lot of ships connect to their characters, but I feel like blasters can do something similar, and I feel like few other blasters do it quite like Satine's Lament with Leia.
Well, look, what you just said is, imagine sitting in the theater in 77 and this crawl goes across the screen and you hear a princess, she's in trouble, a princess in distress, and that's going to send you down a certain path, right? And you see the first thing you really see of her, you know, you're not sure it's her, giving a message to a droid. But this is really the first time you see Leia and the first time you acknowledge in your head, like, oh, this is the princess. Oh, she's in distress. Boom. Nope. She's got a blaster. Now she gets, gets stunned right away, all that kind of stuff. But like this is, like you said, this is our introduction. She's ready to go. This is a princess of a different sort. And that's one of the reasons I love it. And also just in terms of the design, in terms of a smaller, I don't even want to call it. It is kind of a holdout blaster. That term gets used a lot. I mean, the scout troopers have it too, but just like a tiny little ankle blaster. No, it's her main weapon. And I love the name that it's a Defender Sporting Blaster Pistol. Like you can get it at Big Five for sporting. I just enjoy that. And now the bigger connection to, Satine's Lament to Duchess Satine cries. It's all there. I love Leia. Everyone knows that. Everyone out there, you should love Leia too. She's so important to the Star Wars story. And this is her signature weapon, which is why it's number one on my list.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it also it's a commentary on, I mean, even the name is a commentary on just Alderaan in general, right?
Yeah.
Considering it's considered a peaceful planet, she says it has no weapons, and the kind of weapons it does have, she uses it for stun, right? I mean, obviously, she's
Well, I should say she does take it. I don't want anyone to correct me.
That's correct.
She gets stunned. She, I did say she stunned a stormtrooper. She stuns Poe, but she takes out the stormtrooper. I declare.
Even better.
You and I clearly have been in one too many trivia contests in our life. But the fact that it's a Defender Sporting Blaster pistol would align with a little bit of the ethos there in Alderaan. So I do think that lines up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because she's using it for defense, and it's got a very, it's got a great look that shows you that this isn't necessarily something that's designed for complete annihilation. Like other blasters, like the Annihilator. For example. But yeah, that's an absolutely great choice for sure.
My number one, you can use it in Battlefront too. But we are up to Andres Cabrera's number one choice for the best blaster in Star Wars. Sir, I give the mic to you.
Yeah, my number one is not as cool as yours. I'm just realizing.
I don't think that's the case at all.
So my number one is back to, goes all the way back to 2002, at least for me. And that is Attack of the Clones, obviously. It's one of my favorite characters and one that means so much to me. Jango Fett. Nice. The first time I ever saw this scene, it blew my mind. Jango Fett versus Obi-Wan. Yeah. And he pulls out the Westar 34 blaster pistols, double dueling blasters, as Obi-Wan is blocking them. And he's flying in midair and blasting them in midair. I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And then obviously it leads up to the Petrinaki Arena where RIP Coleman Trevor.
Yeah. Yes.
He takes out a Jedi with it. Obviously kind of a surprise attack, but still he takes out a Jedi with it.
Damn straight.
And when he twirls it and puts it back in his holster, I lost it.
Oh yeah.
As a 10-year-old kid, I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. That might be my favorite character in the movie, but might be my favorite blaster I've ever seen, considering the ease of use, considering the Western style of it, and considering it fits so well with his bounty hunter type character, his Western type character.
Yeah.
I love this blaster. And obviously, to me, it was a toss-up between the Westar 34 and the Westar 35, to be honest, because I love Sabine Wren.
Yeah.
And I think Sabine Wren has a completely different style to her, obviously, than Jango Fett. But it still fits that Mandalorian double-wielding blaster vibe that she has going on that's kind of similar to Jango.
Okay.
When it comes to her style of firing weapons.
Yeah.
But I had to go with the classic one, the one that made me fall in love in the theaters. And it's the Westar 34 blaster pistol.
My friend, you're saying not a cool choice. This is absolutely a cool design, a great blaster. And I love a Westar. Talk about Western. There you go. They made it. It's a custom fit, custom made blaster pistol set for Jango because they modified the handles so you can have lower weight for a faster draw. I mean, this is Western all the way to its core, which is, again, ties to Din Djarin's blaster pistol. It's why it's there. And then the sound. We always talk about the seismic charges, one of my favorite sounds in Star Wars. When that fight with Obi-Wan, just that is a great sequence. And just the sounds of the blaster, and especially when it comes back again on Geonosis. Yeah, I'm on board for this. This is a wonderful choice. And I love your perspective of you're in that generation, that this is one of the first blasters you really connected with. And that makes a ton of sense. And fits in my final ramble on this, and I'll kick it back to you here, but the designs of a lot of those prequels, you talked about the Padme holdout blaster, but a lot of the designs of the prequel era do speak of another era in the galaxy, the sleeker, less bulkier designs that we got familiar with in the original trilogy era. Just, I'm talking in story, and it lines up with that too, and just kind of continued that aesthetic that I actually really love about the prequel designs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what we love about the original trilogy is kind of the worn out, rustic look of a lot of what's inside this universe, because this is the era of the Empire. Yeah. So a lot of stuff has kind of been tossed aside or reused versus the prequels, which has much more sleeker designs, a lot more cleaner, I guess is a better word to use.
Right.
Obviously, there's that even that little scene in Phantom Menace when Sabe tells Padme to clean R2-D2.
Yeah.
But everything is clean, pristine, clear, shiny, chrome. Right. Very matte.
Yeah.
Shiny and chrome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of the vibe that they were going for and that Jango had. Jango was a cleaner, sleeker version of a Boba, right?
Yeah.
Considering his armor was like bluish and silver.
Yeah.
It just fit his character so well to have a chrome looking, Western looking blasters, which I fell in love with as soon as he pulled them out and started firing at Obi-Wan. I was like, that is so cool.
I can only imagine you being 10 in a theater. Yeah. And here I am. I'm a little bit older than you, obviously. I'm sitting in the theater and still kind of being a little dubious about what I'm seeing in the prequels. And then, you know, the seismic charges have emerged and I'm like, okay, I have to admit that's kind of cool. I like the sound of that. And then this fight comes up and then Jango pulls out these blasters. I'm on board. You know, even if I didn't want to admit it, I was like, okay, they got me. I like this sequence a lot. So, man.
Yeah. I think it fits so well with everything inside Attack of the Clones as far as the sleekness, the coolness. I can talk about the Core 2 Airspeeder. Shout out to Zam Wessel.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the coolest looking speeders ever. And the sound of it as it passes by the buildings in Coruscant is such a good sound design.
Yeah.
It sounds like a screech. Almost like a creature yelling as it flies by. It's incredible. Yeah. Attack of the Clones is great, man. I love that movie.
hey, it's a, It's a fair choice. Fair choice indeed. And a great way to close out our show here today and our list of the best blasters in Star Wars, Jango Fett. And by the way, it's interesting to note that two of your choices are blasters that Obi-Wan Kenobi got tangled up with.
Yeah, it shows you my Obi-Wan bias.
Love that. I love that. We could go on and on about the blasters, but we are going to wrap up here. Andres Cabrera, I can't thank you enough, as always, for coming in and just bringing some depth and fun to the Star Wars conversations. Congratulations again for your big tournament win in the movie Trivia Schmodown. I don't know who to root for when you take on Alex for that title. Both will be winners in my book. But I want everyone here on Force Center to know what you're doing, including some of the updated stuff, even if they know who you are and when maybe they're been following your stuff before, but you got some cool stuff you guys are working on over there. So let everyone know.
Yeah, obviously, follow my channel at First Cut on YouTube. It's my YouTube channel with my buddies, RB3 and Sabrina. We do movie reviews. We just released one later today. We do live streams every Wednesday, so you can tune in with us and have different conversations about movies. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So make sure you guys tune in because we have guests. We have new shows coming up. So a lot of stuff is going on with First Cut. So make sure you guys tune into that.
That is a must. You guys should do that. Support those folks. I love everything they got going on over there. And love talking Star Wars with you. I hope you keep doing it everywhere you can. As for me, you can go to kennapsock.com and find out all the things I'm doing, including my new baseball podcast feed, Box Score Heroes, or pick up a copy of my book, Why We Love Star Wars. There's some blaster talk in there for sure. If you want to follow Force Center, if you haven't already done so, go find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Rank to join the conversation with your list, maybe for a favorite blaster in Star Wars. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Subscribe over there. We got show and tell and other content going on there. And you can support us on tpublic.com/user/Force Center if you want to get a cool shirt. If you want to support the show directly, go to patreon.com/Force Center. A lot of cool things happen there. You guys make it possible, including like the new theme music that we have here on Star Wars Ranked. So that is it for Andres. For all the cool blasters in Star Wars, we'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.